have a few fire starters, as usual, on paper. It's good to have some paper. Judy and I had a fire pit and roasted marshmallows this week, and not all week, but one night this week. And I just thought, I wish I had some newspaper. I had the little starter sticks and had some other. And if I only had some newspaper, you can't use typing paper. You can't really use toilet paper. You got to have newspaper. It's the best thing for putting it under and getting that fire started. But thankfully, I had, lighter fluid. Nothing like lighter fluid. Well, we've got fire starters here today. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost. And how many here are born again? Most of you are born again. Okay, well, you've got the fire in you. You've got a fire in you. When you're first born into this life, the Bible says that He lighteth the light of everyone that enters into the world. So newborn babes have a pilot light. They have a spirit. They are a spirit. And the pilot light is lit. But then as children, all of us went the way of the world. We all went astray. Anybody here used to, that was your past, you went astray? Some more than others, it looks like. Smiling faces out there. But you know, all we like sheep had gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way. And so because of that, sin entered and we died. And Jesus came on the earth to show us the way. And He said, you must be born again. And each and every one of us have been born again. I'm looking out here. I know everybody here. You've been born again. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our spirit is alive unto God. Our spirit is alive unto God. And our spirit eats spiritual food. And that's what we have going here today. That's what we had last week, the week before. Every time pastors come here and share the word, we get spiritually fed. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that we have a church that says we're going to stick with the word. Oh, we haven't always been perfect, but hopefully we come up unlike the politicians in this world. Hopefully we come back and say, oh, I made a mistake here. And I want to apologize for that. Here's the Word of God correction. Say amen, somebody. And so we have the Word of God at this church. And something else we have is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that you and I have been created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, praise God. So many of us want to be just, you know, so humble that we couldn't say we're righteous. Oh, no. My righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says, my own. But I'm not talking about my righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness that was given to me the day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 5 tells us that as many of you that has received, everybody say received, the free gift of righteousness. The free gift of righteousness. You and I have received a gift, and it's the gift of God. And it's the very Spirit of Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and He sent forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts and gave us a gift. Oh, praise God. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm righteous. I'm not bragging about something I did. Jesus came on the earth and He said to all of mankind and to His disciples, He said, unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. You cannot be part of the kingdom of God. He put the standard up so high. He put the standard up so high. You and I and everybody we know, everybody on the planet, Jesus came up and said, here's the mark up here. Your righteousness has got to exceed all the rules and all the do's and don'ts. Your righteousness has got to be way up here. And the disciples, they must have just said, well, who then can be saved? Whose righteousness is beyond that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Even the Apostle Paul, who was the scribe of the scribe and the Pharisee of the Pharisees, was the Apostle Paul. He kept all the rules. He taught the rules. And he was the best at it. He was the best at it. But obviously, everybody say obviously, there was something wrong with his heart. There was still something wrong with his heart. He couldn't do it. He couldn't keep all the rules. He couldn't be perfect enough on his own. And we know what happened with the Apostle Paul as he was riding his horse along on the road to Damascus. Oh, the Father God came in all his glory and knocked him off his high horse. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. We had such a good prayer time back there before the service. And Brother Sean Dunn was praying some things right along with this message. He had no idea what the message was on. That happens all the time around here. That happens all the time around here. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is amongst us. We are the temple. Each and every one is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And as we gather together, we are the house of God. It doesn't matter if we're in this building or somewhere else. We are the house of God. Say amen, somebody. God is so good. God is so good. And as the Holy Spirit, as God himself, the light from heaven, knocked Paul over, he got up saying the right thing, my Lord, my Lord. And the Apostle Paul was born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he had been made sin for us, do you know when somebody has done something for you? You do, don't you? You know, somebody did something for me today. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I think you made the toast, right? Drew the peanut butter and jelly, right? Peanut butter and jelly. She did that for me. So I knew that someone had done something for me, and I was thankful. And I ate the toast, drank my coffee. Did we have juice too? That was yesterday. Drank my coffee, had the toast. Somebody did something for me. Amen? Well, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Oh, praise God. When somebody has done something for you, what do? You say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you're saved today, can you say thank you? Can you praise God for that? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Don't thank me. Thank him. Thank him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's good to be saved. Hallelujah. And look where you are this morning, or this afternoon, this morning. It started at 10, right? Look where you are today. Like we said, you're in the house of God. You're gathered with the saints of God. I personally can't think of a better group of people to be gathered with. You guys, each and every one, are so fantastic. So fantastic. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Natalie gave me a hug today, and I melted. I melted. Why? Because she's the temple of the Holy Ghost. When Natalie hugged me, God hugged me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you will just, Excuse me, I get excited every once in a while. Like Brother Josh said, every sermon of mine could be entitled, Things That I'm Excited About. Yes. Things That I'm Excited About. I just wonder about people. I'm like Pastor Duane, you know. I just like scratch my head and wonder about people. You're saved? There hasn't been a praise come out of your mouth in I don't know how long. You're spirit filled for the love of the Lord. When's that going to start manifesting? Glory be to God. He's so good. God is so good. Last February's been 50 years, Judy. 50 years saved, born again, filled with his spirit, speaking in tongues, reading the Bible, talking to God. Oh, hallelujah. And hearing his voice. Hearing his voice. Oh, he said, my sheep, hear my voice. He'll speak to you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. I should get started here. I said we had some fire starters. Amen. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to praise God with me. And to think, oh, I've been saved. I'm saved. Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, let's give a title. Let's put the fire starters down so we can get going on the sermon. Oh, praise God. Expect God to speak to you. Expect God to speak to you. Every time you come to church, every time you read your Bible, expect God to speak to you. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I got to leave that. It's so good. Leave that. Praise the Lord. Title, I have a title. I have a title. I love to give titles, and I love to give a main text. And so let's do that. The title of the sermon today is The Compound Names of God. The Compound Names of God. And we know what a compound word is, don't we? We've got some A teacher in the room, some others. Compound. I learned that in school. Growing up, when I wasn't goofing around, I learned about the compound names. And we got that there. And then Philippians 2:9, let's turn to that. Philippians 2:9, compound names of God. It's in the New Testament. Didn't have this one marked. Ahead of time, we're going to be looking at the Old Testament for a while, and we're going to end with the New Testament because that's a good place to end. Amen? And head home. Philippians 2:9, we are looking at the compound names of God, first of all, in the Old Testament. And we'll find out that the compound names of God are also called the Jehovah names of God. And we'll show the definition of Jehovah in a little bit. But, of course, compound meaning two or more words that have standalone definitions, like football. So if I was doing object lessons, I would have a foot here, and then I would have a round ball, football. So you put them together, and it changes a little bit. It becomes more specific. So you put the two words together, football, and you could say you got a football, a different kind of ball. Amen? You could also say it's about a game that's going to start not too long from now. in the fall so that we can hurry home from church and watch it, football. So when we talk about the compound names of God, we're going to take two words and put them together. We're going to do five different names of God, and one of the words will be Jehovah, and one of the words will be Jireh, or Nisi, or Tsidkenu, or Shalom, or which one am I missing here? Rapha. So we're going to talk about the compound names of God. We're going to get some life out of the Old Testament. And then we're going to go to the New Testament. Verse 9 of Philippians 2. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So if we talk about the compound names of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, we could put that up. We could put up the definition of Jehovah. Is it up? We'll put that up. Tell me when it's up there. It's coming. Slide 2. Okay. So when we're going to say the names of God, we're going to say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha. So we have to know what the word Jehovah means. And of course, Jehovah is the name for God. And in the Old Testament, it is mostly used for the name Lord. So our King James Bible would say, the Lord, and you think, oh, I know who the Lord is. It's God. But let's put some meaning to the word Lord and the word God. When we say his name, let's let his name, talking about Jehovah, let's let it mean something to us. And when we put it with Nisi, for example, which is the Lord our victory, literally banner, but the context would say it's the Lord our victory. We would be saying Jehovah means life, to live, to be, being. Now, all those things are good. Amen. Life, praise God. But self-existed one? Is there anybody here that is self-existent? Is there anybody in the room right now that you created yourself? No. Self-existed one, eternal one, unchangeable one, almighty, most high, everlasting strength. All of those words are in the word Jehovah. So I'm glad he was able to get it up so we could think about that as we look at the Jehovah names of God. And I know that you've heard this message before, a message like it. But let's understand that as we're growing in the Lord and we hear a message on a certain subject, we don't know it all. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. We don't know it all. And there's something else that happens. Sometimes, as it says in the New Testament, Paul said, lest we let some of these things slip. Slip. And so he said, I am stirring you up into remembrance of these things. Because faith cometh when the word of God is preached and proclaimed and taught. Faith cometh. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I have faith. I have faith. You have faith. We don't, I hope we don't. I know we don't. We don't tell people, well, I'll just say I don't. I don't tell people you don't have enough faith. I don't tell people that. Number one, I have no idea how much faith you have. How would I know that? Only God knows. You probably don't even know how much faith you have. But I'll tell you this, you have a lot of faith. Let me say that again. You have a lot of faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. That's why we need to hear again. You know, I had a steak not too long ago. I had a real, Travis and I cooked on the grill out on the deck. Judy was at work because somebody has to. Anyway, out loud I said that. So I had a steak a couple weeks ago. That was really good. I'm learning. We've been married 44 years. For the first 30 years, I burnt almost everything. For 30 years straight. And Judy's like, and what she learned is, Mike, are you watching the steak? Because I'm off doing something else. Why? Because that's cooking. That's busy doing its own thing over there on the fire. So then I run off and get something else done, right, Jude? And so after 30 years, well, there'd be one, you know, it's one for me here. I burned things for 30 years. One for Judy is she learned to say, Mike, are you watching the steak? And so together, the steaks now are getting done really good. Really, really good. So I enjoy steak. And I had steak 2 weeks ago. And I'll tell you this. At some point in the future, I'm going to have another one. I'm going to have another one. Why? Because that one's gone. I won't tell you where it is. It's gone. That's one thing for sure. As far as the east is from the west, that the nutrition's gone. Everything's gone about that steak. And you could say about fruits and vegetables too, right? I did have those also. And fruits and vegetables. We need them. Everybody say, we need them. We need them. And it took me 40-some years to learn that one. So now if I go to the doctor, I walk in, and I say, I'll just stop you right here. Fruits, vegetables, and exercise. Let's just write it up, and I'm out of here, okay? Let me just tell you, nutrition and exercise. And so it is with the Word of God. Are you listening still? So it is with the Word of God. I heard about this already, Pastor Mike. I know about the Jehovah names of God. Maybe that's for Mark, or maybe that's for whoever. No, it's for you and it's for me. The Jehovah names of God is for you and it's for me. My son, attend to my word. Keep your eyes on my sayings. Amen? Keep them in the midst of your heart. They'll be life to you when you find them. Oh, and health. Everybody say health. Health to all of your flesh. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Amen. Well, God is good. And is it all right if I take my jacket off? I thought it was going to be cool in here. Okay, so let's continue here. So we had our main text, Philippians 2:9. And I wrote a note here, everything begins with Jesus and ends with Jesus. But let's look at some of these Jehovah names of God. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at the first one here on slide 3. Jehovah name extensions, we called it. Genesis 22, 6 through 13. And I'll just read. We're not going to have the verses up there. We've got some for ending the service, but I'll just read it to you. Genesis 22, 6 through 13. The story of Abraham and Isaac going up to be sacrificed. Anybody recognize that story? Genesis 22, 6 through 13. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." Do you see the revelation there? That's pretty powerful right there. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, Here I am. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You know that Abraham had a covenant with God. We know that, right? Abraham had a covenant with God. And God saw that Abraham was willing to give his son, his only son, to the Lord. What does that sound like? Our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I just want to interject here, everlasting life is a quality of life that has already begun for you and I. We have already started living forever. We have already started eternal life. We have already, there's a point in all of our lives when we will cross over and get new bodies, but nothing else will change. Our spirit, amen, we're going to get a new body, and that's exciting and that's a blessing, but we've already started living forever. Abraham was willing to give his son, and God the Father gave his son. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes. I want to make a point here as well, because we know in our lives, how many here have ever been tempted, tested, or tried? Tempted, tested. Everybody here has been tempted, tested, or tried. Well, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation come to you, but such as is common to man." But God will not allow you to be tempted, tested, and tried above that which you are able to overcome, but will, with the temptation, provide. Everybody say provide. We are talking about Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, and most of the time we think about that as financial provision. Has anybody ever thought of that? You should. He is Jehovah Jireh, and I want to throw this in for free. God wants to prosper financially all of his children, all of his children, as he works on our hearts to be like him and be a giver. Amen? We used to have this saying, I had a poster on my wall, "God will get it to you if he can get it through you." And the pipe gets wet as it flows through. Amen? Amen. And so God is our provider. And I said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as the common man, God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide, everybody say provide, the way of escape. The way of escape. What would it be, verse 13 here, what would it be if Abraham did not lift up his eyes and look? God, through the angel, spoke to him. He heard, but he had a part to play in it. God speaks to us. We're his sheep. He's our shepherd. We know his voice. He speaks to us, but we have a part to play in the provision. If you're going to give me something, I have to reach out and receive it, right? And it'd be really weird if you were handing me something and I closed my eyes, looked down, and didn't put out my hand or anything like that. That would be really, really weird. And you would have a hard time giving me something. And many times, especially when we're tempted, tested, and tried, we do not lift up our eyes and look for the way of escape. Look for the way of escape. Trust God that what he has promised, he will certainly bring it to pass. But we have a part to play. So he sends the provision to you, but you and I have to lift up our eyes and look. How is God providing for me now? He might have provided one way 2 years ago, but now he has another way to provide for you. Who knows why? Mine is not to ask why. Mine is to say, what does the promise of God say? That God, who never changes, remember, he is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. He is the eternal one, and he is the unchangeable one. God that provided for you, I got to say some things really fast because the clock keeps moving. God does what he does because of who he is. That's why we just seek him. Just seek him. Just seek him. Quit trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Just seek him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham and Moses talked to God like a friend. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. He's so good. Abraham, Moses, the Apostle Paul, Jesus, talked to God as a friend. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friend. Oh, and he's calling us. He's calling us. That's why you're in a church like this today. And you're not in some religious yuck. I got no time for that. There's no life there. Amen. I didn't say any names. I just said religious yuck. And you all know what I'm talking about. That's pretty amazing. Because we came out of that one way or another. And we came to this place because we want more. We want to know him. Amen. We're talking about Jesus put that thing up there, put that mark up there. And he said, unless your righteousness exceeds, that says to you and me, I surrender. I give up. I can't be righteous. I receive the free gift. I receive the free gift of righteousness. And that's the basis upon which I come to God boldly. How I have no fear. I have no shame. I have no guilt. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. And not just when I first got born again. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. This is a fellowship in church. We have fellowship one with another. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. That's a continuum. Continually cleanses me. Well, what if I sinned? You admit it. You admit it. That was a sin, Father, because I have a relationship with him, not because it's a legality. No, no, no. I don't acknowledge my sin to God because I have to. If I somehow, how did I get off on this? If I somehow offend Judy, she still loves me. She's going to stay with me. She proved that. But because I love her and we're in relationship together, I say, here's what I did, and it was wrong. Not if, but whatever. Amen? That's what I do with God. But I don't worry about it. I don't worry about sin. The Bible says I have no anxiety about anything. Amen? But as I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses me. All right, so I'm finishing reading this. This is how Pastor Dwayne gets into series. But I'm thankful for that. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Good news for children. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." This is in the New King James. I believe the King James just says Jehovah Jireh, right? He called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And so we know what Jehovah means. And Jireh means sees ahead and provides. Sees ahead and provides. And so we know that Abraham, this was the first time Jehovah Jireh is found in the Old Testament. And we see and know what it means. And the same Jehovah that provided for you 10 years ago. That's one good thing about getting older. You can look back and say, you kidding me? It would be a sin for me to doubt his provision in my life. It would be a sin for me to think about it, and double worse if I spoke about it. But what I will speak about, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Amen? We need to move on here. So we see Jehovah Jireh. You know about that Bible story. Let's go to Rapha Healer. Rophi, it could be. I've heard it pronounced Rapha. I've seen it spelled differently. R-O-P-H-E. Jesus the Healer. Exodus 15. Let's go to Exodus 15. I'm watching the clock here. I'm not trying to keep people too long without sharing something good. Exodus 15, verse 22. Are you glad you came today? Exodus 15, 22. I'll make sure I get this right. Yeah, healer. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. God is revealing himself as your healer. As your healer. We already said that his word is medicine. Everybody say medicine. And he is called the great physician. Amen. So God isn't against physicians. And God isn't against medicine. But I wouldn't say go out and take as much as you can. Go to as many doctors. But see, you know, I know a man that used to preach, and he preached it was a sin to go to the doctor. Well, it doesn't say that in the Word. He had an obscure half a verse that he was going on. And I thought, well, that's kind of weak for that kind of a stance. But God is the great physician. It isn't about whether you go to a doctor or not. It's about who are you trusting for your healing. Now, Jehovah God, the unchanging one, he will never change. He is always the Lord that healeth thee. Always. And always will be. Say amen, somebody. And we could go to a lot of places here with that. Okay, so he revealed himself, unchanging, everlasting healer. Not going to change. He's not going to change. He's always going to be your healer. Nisi, God, your victory. I love this one. I live even when I testified here that I went through a pretty long time of depression. After being a pastor for 26 years, I should know better. But I did not have control of it at the time. And I went through a long time of depression. And I'll tell you right now, just telling somebody to, snap out of it, that's not enough. That's not enough. We need to feed people the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Regardless, I thought we were people that walk by faith, regardless of what they look like or act like. I had people pray over me many years ago before I met Judy, 50 years ago. As a Christian, I was having some troubles, and some people were praying over me. And they prayed and prayed, and then I didn't change. In their eyes. I knew when the prayer was coming, I received. I totally received. But nothing was changed physically. But I heard them say behind me that were laying hands on me praying. I heard them say, it's not working. He's not receiving. He's not receiving. Who told you that? The devil. The devil's a liar. Well, when I heard that, I had a few thoughts. One of them was, yes, I am receiving. And I am healed, and I am delivered. And they were standing over there just debating why and how and everything. And I was thinking, I got to get out of this place. I got to pick up and leave. I can't be here. These people, and I was a new Christian, and these were elders. They had oil. They had everything. Bucket. They had a bucket. They had a little bucket. They had a bucket. You know, when you pray for somebody, you have to have a bucket, right? The bucket was so that I could throw up in the bucket because the demon was going to leave me. And I didn't throw up. I just thought if somebody prayed in the name of Jesus and spoke the word of God, I just thought that's more than enough. I was totally delivered. They said it didn't work, so I moved out of this place. It was kind of a halfway house kind of thing, and I moved out. I moved on my own. I took Christian music. I put it on a vinyl spin thing, and sound like President so-and-so. Okay, Biden. Okay, so I put on Christian music, second chapter of Acts. That's a long time ago. And I began to dance and praise God that I was free. And I was free from that day on. It was just me and Jesus. Hallelujah. Then I met Judy, and all's well. Since then, I've been floating along on a flowery bed of ease. All right. All right, so we've got the clock ticking. Let's just do victory, and maybe they'll have me back. Hallelujah. God is good. We got to end with victory. And I've got other verses we won't get to. So don't you think victory is a good place to end?
Yes.
Exodus 17, verses 5 through 14. Oh, he's also Jehovah Shalom. And we talked about righteousness. Okay. Exodus 17, verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. And also in your hand, take your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of God and the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place up. I've got the wrong verse written down here. Don't I, Jude? Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Oh, okay. Exodus 17, 15. And Moses built an altar. Okay, so I have to start. Well, I can't read all that. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek. The Amalekites were coming against God's people. It was an army so numerous they couldn't hardly count. And God said, I will wipe out their remembrance from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of the place, the Lord is my banner. Or I think the King James, does it say Jehovah Nissi? Anybody have that? No? Well, Jehovah Nissi is God revealing himself as your banner and your victory. They won the victory. And as the story goes, Moses told Joshua to lead the armies of Israel against the Amalekites. And Moses went up on a high hill at God's instructions. And God told him to lift up his rod. There's a whole message there. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? And Moses lifted up his rod. And whenever he had lifted up the rod, the children of Israel defeated the Amalekites. But when his arms got tired and began to go down, the armies of Israel would start losing the battle. And so Aaron and Hur came and lifted up his arms, held up his arms. That's what we're doing here as a church. Amen? Our senior pastors have a vision from God. How many believe that? They do have a vision from God. And they have not relented. They have not given up because of what things they see or do not see. But sometimes their arms get tired. And we have no idea. You know, when you're going to speak a message, and some of you have spoken before, when you're preparing a message, I like to say sometimes it's like your, what do you call it, riding the Pony Express. Sometimes you're delivering the mail from out west back to east, and you're riding the Pony Express, and there's arrows flying at you and robbers on the path. But there's things that come to challenge you. It happened to me in preparation for this message. Things that come to challenge, and pretty soon you learn to say, oh, that's just the devil. I'm going to just come with this message that you've given me, Lord, and let well enough alone. I'm ready to go, ready to deliver the message. But I only preach every once in a while. Think about the pastors that preach every week. Think about that. Every week they're delivering the mail. Every week they're getting shot at. Every week they got to put their shield up against the fiery darts of the enemy. But you and I could come when that shield gets full of darts and starts to get heavy for the pastors. We could come and say, pastors, I'll help you hold the shield up. I can do that. I can't do what you're doing, but I can help you hold that shield up. At least we can keep catching those fiery darts. Say amen, somebody. Where did that come from? Well, in this story, every time that Moses had his rod up and Aaron and Hur were bracing it up, the Israelites prevailed and they got the victory. Everybody stand up. It got warm in here, didn't you think? I thought it got warm in here. Is it just right for you? I've been getting some exercise, I think. Well, God's good. God is good. Hallelujah. Expect, old Robert used to say, expect, or he'd say, something good is going to happen to you. You know, I dropped a story that I was telling, and it just came back to me. And when I was in depression, before I came to this church, and this church was part of unwrapping me from that bondage. But when I was in depression, my spirit, I knew I would come out of that. I knew I would come out of that. I didn't think I was going to be that way for the rest of my life. I knew I was going to come out of that. Thank goodness I didn't have those other friends, quote unquote, to pray for me. But I had God and had a loving family. With God and a loving family, man, you got most everything you need. Amen? And then you add the church family? Oh, man, it doesn't get much better than that. But the whole time, I just knew. I was praying in tongues, walking around the center island of our kitchen. Then I go lay down. And then I get back up, and then I pray in tongues. Then I go lay down again. Then I lay down on the couch. Then I lay down in the bed. Then nobody knows what I'm talking about. But many people do. But I knew the whole time I'm coming out of this. It's just a matter of time I'm coming out of this. In fact, what I learned in the faith message was it's already taken care of. It's already done. God sees the end from the beginning. So I'm going to lift up my eyes and look. Oh, praise God, we got to do it. Oh, we got to do it. And then the verses started coming up. I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. But he was working. He was working. And the verses that said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Does always apply to when I was walking around the kitchen? Yep. Does always apply today? Yep. Does always apply tomorrow? Yep. Oh, no matter what comes against us, my brother, my sister, nakedness, famine, lack, sickness, doesn't matter. We are more than conquerors. That's who you are. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All the time. Glory be to God. Well, let's just give him praise. Let's just give him praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, I wasn't able to finish everything prepared, but Lord God, we'll be back another time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank God for your salvation. Now let's thank God for your deliverance and freedom. Remember, even if you haven't seen it, He's working. He's working, and so we can trust that and thank Him that it's done. It's done. You will not be like that forever. You will not be like that forever. Something good is going to happen for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are Lord. You are Jehovah, unchanging Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. I just hear the Spirit of God saying some things. And one of the things is, He said, I am. He said, I am. Whatever your need is, whatever your desire for the future is, He is. He is. It's not so much He's going to do. It's much more who He is. Who He is. Oh, just thank God that you are getting closer and closer to Him. Just thank God that you are getting to know Him more and more. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that I might know Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's so good. Amen. Be nice to somebody. Have a good day.